Major Tom, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, thank you. You sound nice and crisp. Five by five.
Okay, fantastic. Everybody, welcome aboard. Coming up first tonight, we've got Major Tom Baird. And with that, we'll get started. Everybody, welcome aboard. Here we go.
One minute until showtime.
Are you ready? Ready to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, everybody, that time has arrived. Welcome aboard Tuesday, January 18th, 2022. Real honor to bring to you tonight, Major Tom Baird. Major Tom, we've got this hour together. Would you like to open us up in prayer?
Yes, please. Let's pause. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for watching over us and keeping us safe. Father, we ask that you protect us now as this world appears to be on the brink of a world war. We ask for your hand to be upon us and hide us in the secret place of your keeping and under your wings. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for delivering us from evil. Give us insight and wisdom and understanding and guidance as we proceed through these troubled times. We thank you, Lord, in the name of your Son Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother Tom, the mic is yours. Take it away, brother.
Okay. Well, interestingly enough, what we are going to be doing, and you can follow on if you have a device that you can go on the internet. You can go on my website, and that's essentially https://aliveontheedge.com. You don't put the www in there, just aliveontheedge.com. And that'll bring you up to the home page. And as you look at the home page, on the right-hand side, there will be a column of listings. And the top part will say home page, and the next place will say hierarchy of spiritual beings. And that's where we want to go, is hierarchy of spiritual beings. Once we get to there, you'll be given a place that will start out with the introduction, and it will have a military 5-paragraph field order that gives us our information that we need as we proceed through this particular segment, because what we have been given is the enemy and friendly order of battle. That's very important in conducting any war. You need to have that order of battle because it tells you everything about your enemy, his disposition, what his intents are, what his capabilities are, and his various characteristics and organization. It also gives your conquerable, as the friendlies, information the same way. Now, as we do that, what you want to do is scroll down through that all the way to the end of the pages of that particular link. And at the bottom, or near the bottom, you will have several links. It will show you the, what do we want to call it? I'll just go there myself so I can walk you through it a little easier. It'll give, after the five-paragraph FELA order, then it'll give the command and control and the structure of the enemy and the heaven and the enemy and the friendlies. And we are in a, what this is for is because we are in a battle, we're in a war, all-out war, literally, spiritually and physically, of good and between good and evil. You're going to come down to a place called attributes of good and evil. And the very first thing is going to be heavenly realms, and we'll go to level 12. The third heaven, and that's going to be about God. Now, we're almost through that particular section. You'll need to come all the way down, probably two-thirds down the scroll bar. And you'll come to a heading that says additional supernatural attributes and actions of God. I'll say that again, additional supernatural attributes and actions of God. And we'll begin to pick up on that. Now, this particular version that's up on the website right now doesn't have all of the explanatory scriptures to it. It will shortly. Within an hour, it will probably be up there. But it isn't there yet. Essentially, what we're going to look at is the additional supernatural attributes and actions of God. And it's important, the reason that I'm giving so much detail about God and about the angels and about what he has done and what he can do, what he will do, and what he promises to do, and not only in prophecy, but in all scripture, is because the ferocity and just furious violence that's going to happen with the enemy is going to, we're going to need this information so that we can rely on it. And the very first thing you need to know is that God inhabits the praises of Israel or his people. That's in Psalms 22, verse 3, where it says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel." You can take that. Israel also means his people. You are part of his people. So he inhabits the praises of each one of us. That's why it's important for us to enter into the presence of the Lord with praises and thanksgiving, as the Psalms say additionally in other places. And the more we praise the Lord, the more he inhabits us. Now, you can't be having your mind on 1,000 different things and just have your mouth praising him, and it won't work that way. Your focus needs to be totally and completely on Christ as you praise him and as you thank him, as you adore him and as you worship him, as you return to him the love that he has already given you and I. And he begins then that habitation in us. And the marvelous thing about that, in addition to the wonderful sensation of being in his presence, is that we are literally becoming a brilliant candle with the presence of God coming upon us and in us. With God inhabiting us, then there is nothing that the enemy can do. Yeah, he can kill our body, but he cannot touch our soul and our spirit. Remember that. He can only destroy the body. He can't destroy anything else unless we ourselves personally give him permission. You know how you do that? By running away from God. By not accepting the promises of God, not accepting his truth, not accepting a faith that he does exist, and grabbing on to every false premise there is of evil, wickedness, and darkness that is not of God. You open yourself, we open ourselves up. Even those who are close to God can have that happen to them. And I speak of from a personal experience. It happened at the time. Excuse me, I seem to have something in my throat, but I'll see if I can assuage that. Excuse me. Upon my return from meeting my wife in the middle of my combat tour in Vietnam, I happened to sit in one of the, I was one of the first passengers on the airline, and in the seat that I sat in was this little book, Prophecies of Edgar Casey. Looked very innocent. What is this? I'd never heard of that fellow. They called him a sleeping prophet. What is this? Who's a prophet that's a sleeping prophet? Well, it turns out he's a direct representative and servant of Satan. He put himself out as a Sunday school teacher. Well, you can be a Sunday school teacher and be a follower of Satan just as well. And in this case, it was that way. As I began to read through that thing, never having heard of it, never having had any kind of information, and not even knowing what the word occult meant, not having diligently understood, you know, studied and understood the prohibition by God in the scriptures and all of the Torah, that we are not to talk to spirits, we're not to talk to the dead, that's called necromancy, and we're not to pursue any of that. Well, I had read it, but it went right over my head. I had no inkling of what it meant. So I began to try to discern it, and I was saying, Lord, what is this? What is this? And in the middle of it, the Lord began to allow me to have experiences, make my choices. He doesn't thwart, he doesn't come against our self-will. How could we have a free will if God interfered with it all the time? And he honors that particular premise, even to his agony and sadness for the bad choices that we make. And I was making some very bad choices. It turns out that I began to become involved in a college course. At that point in time, I didn't think that university subjects were going to be suspect to danger and mislead you in a very graphic and very evil way. In fact, the professor that was conducting the classes that I was involved in, and in fact, he had invited me to audit the class. That means I could come in and attend the class. I didn't pay anything, and I didn't get any credit for it. Well, I wasn't concerned about credit. I was concerned about having to pay something. But as it was, I just wanted to know, what on earth was this thing? What is this body of knowledge? And he always opened up his sessions, each class, with an open Bible. And he said, I have the Bible open here, and we're going to quote scripture. and then we'll proceed into the evening's lesson. Now, that did nothing to limit the demons. They knew the scripture just as better than we did. And as he began to coach us into practicing, what I found out later was methods of divination, and we innately, interestingly enough, can actually see the halos and the auras around each other. Some can see colors, some can't. But it was all for self-gratification, and I understood as I began to listen to the class and then listen to the students, most of the students were telling one another, and I was just standing by listening, boy, I sure want to get more of this because I want to have the power to get back at such and such and so, and I think, oh my gosh, why on earth would you want to do that? Well, that's a good indication, a good litmus test right there. It wasn't from God. God is not in the business of getting even with someone and taking revenge. What does he say in the second proclamation of the second great commandment, that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves? What does it start out with? Very interesting. It says, take no vengeance, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You can't love your neighbor if you're trying to take vengeance all the time. That's God's job, not ours. Our job, literally, because each one of us is so important and unique and special and pivotal in this battle of good between good and evil. That's why we were created. We are the instrument that will be, in fact, the platform in which God comes down, and through protecting us against evil, he will defeat evil. Not just evil in men, but wickedness and evil in all spiritual realms, in all dimensions, not just in this 3D dimension that we have, but the 5D, the 6D, the 12D, the 13th D, the 23rd D, however many God can have. And God is infinite, so I presume that he could have an infinite number of places that can be inhabited or available as dimensions. We know that God himself is, and Jesus and the angels are interdimensional because they can pass between the third heaven, which is where God resides, and come down here on earth and then pass back to heaven itself again. Can you do that? Can I do that? Not out of the will of God. You don't want to try it. Well, it turns out, after about 3 months in this particular sojourn of trying to investigate things, 3, 4, 5, maybe even 5 months, I had gotten a book that was narrating various experiences of different individuals that were confronted with ghosts and spirits. And I'm thinking, where do ghosts come into this thing? Where do spirits come into this thing? Are they good spirits? Are they bad spirits? Well, just because I was curious, and curiosity, as you know, killed the cat, you can, and I got myself in a very dangerous position. And one night, while I was on temporary duty to Fort Polk, Louisiana, on a various large project for the military and the infantry in Fort Benning, about midnight, I began to have a dream. And in that dream, there was an invisible force that had tremendous weight, somewhere between 500 and 1,500 pounds. And in the dream, it was sitting on my chest. Essentially, what it was a demon trying to inhabit me and wanted to come through my chest into my heart, my chest cavity, and enter in that way. Well, as this was happening, I awoke only to be terrified because the military bunk that I was sleeping on had these flat springs on it, and the flat springs in my body and the mattress were all the way down on the floor. Now, that's 2.5 feet down, and those springs are powerful. I couldn't do that. It takes a lot of weight to do that. Not only that, but the force of the weight was so powerful that I couldn't breathe and I couldn't speak. But I was familiar with silent prayer, and I had always had a quiet time when I would commune with God silently. And out of that communion that I was already familiar with, I screamed in as fervently as I could in silent prayer and said, "Jesus, help me." I had no sooner said that in my cry out to God than immediately there was this amazingly powerful surge of power, like a force field, similar to a high voltage electrical current hitting you without the pain, just the force, the pressure of it. And as that hit me, it lifted this heavy entity off of my body, off of my chest, actually. But that thing was not about to give way. It rolled up like a scroll, and I could almost hear it flapping, and it settled itself right around my throat and began to throttle me with a grip that was like a steel vice grip. And it was so severe that, again, I still couldn't breathe, and it was painful. It was about to actually fracture my Adam's apple, my esophagus. Now, as that happened, I screamed out even more fervently and desperately in terror, "Jesus, help me." And immediately it was a tenfold to a hundredfold. I can't even calculate it. More amount of his presence. So much so that it completely released the grip of that particular demon and shot him away from my body. Now, not only did that happen, but then I looked, as I could then began to take a breath, and I looked across my body, and I noticed that about 1/4 of an inch from the surface of my skin, from my head to my toes, and around my fingers, that's where I first saw it, was around my fingers, was this brilliant bluish-white light. And it was the glory of God. That particular powerful, you remember that Moses had to wear a bag over his head because of the glory of God when he came down out of the presence of God. Well, I could see it, and it was not only was it there, it was coming from my body. It was all over my body, and it was coming from my body because Jesus was inhabiting me that powerfully. Well, with all that excitement and adrenaline, I had to go to the bathroom, and of course, in the military, the made-over barracks had the light switch in the hallway on the opposite end of from where I was. And so I followed through as I entered into the hallway, and it was a dark hallway in the middle of the night, of course. And this light that was on my body was casting light against the walls of the hall, I got down to the other end of the hallway, entered into the latrine, and turned the light on, took care of business, and came back out. And that light stayed on my body until I re-entered my room. At the same time, I was well aware that this particular protective presence of God, an invisible spiritual shield, like a cocoon, as if you were inside of an egg, in the very center of the egg, you've got a shell around it, and you've got all that liquid that absorbs all the shock of anything. Well, the same thing was there around my body, and it extended out from my body in all directions, from the top to the bottom and all the sides around me, surrounding me 5 feet in every direction. Now, I couldn't see it, but I could sense that, and I was aware of it. This particular demon had shapeshifted or whatever he did and came after me as though he were a bald eagle. And you've seen how eagles come down, they swoop down over the water and they plunge into the water with their talons and grab the salmon or whatever the fish is that they're after and fly off with it. Well, this thing was coming at me with its talons and its intent to really come into me and really do harm to me. And what happened was it hit that force field that was, I'm in the middle of it. It never got any farther than the very outside surface of it. He hit it with tremendous force because he was going at quite a speed. And he ricocheted off just like a bullet would ricochet off a rock. He not only did it once, he did it 3 times before he finally gave up. Then I knew that I was protected by God. And this is why we need to know these things, so that we can enter into this secret place of the Most High God. In fact, Psalms 91:1 says that, "He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." In fact, it says in another place there in Psalms that he will gather us under his wings. He will hide us under his wings. And this 5 foot thick force field was one of those things. God protected me. Now, the demons and Satan had seen my curiosity and they had seen how far I had entered into this thing, and they figured, aha, he's gone far enough now. He's not paying attention to God. And we got him. And had I not been walking every step of the way asking God, "What is this, God? What is this, God?" And God wasn't answering me. He was letting me find out. And he did it, I think, on purpose, because he wanted me to know, he wanted the devil to know, number one, that God is in charge. And number two, he didn't want to tip his hand so that the devil would know that I was being watched closely by God himself. Because the very first thing that happened out of me, when I entered into that danger and that terrifying experience, I didn't freeze in terror. The very first thing that came to mind was Jesus. And so I immediately called out to him. And God knew that I would do that. He knew my heart. So he wasn't worried about letting me walk around with a longer rope than I should have had. Now, I explain that because someone needs to know that. You need to know the power of God, and you're going to need it as we go through these scriptures about God and about what he does and what his kingdom does, what he is about. It will help you get a better idea. But even more than that, press into the Lord Jesus says in Psalms 27, verse 8, "The Lord said, seek ye my face. And I, in my soul, said, I shall seek the face of the Lord." Well, I can add another couple of words there. "My heart leaps for joy as I seek the face of the Lord." Truly. And that's what we want to do. We want to seek Him. He already is here. We will be amazed when we get to heaven, those of us that go, how many times God intervened in our lives and brought us out of danger when we didn't even know we were in danger. Now, as we continue on here, I want to go through these a little more quickly, but I wanted to share that particular thing. God is a refuge and a safe place, and that's where we find in chapter 91, verse 2, where he says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand." Psalms 91, 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. His saints are sealed on their foreheads. And that's found in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4, and Revelation 7, 9. And in Ezekiel it says, "And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through all the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the forehead of the men that sigh and that cry for all the because of all the abominations that are being done, that they would be sealed in the midst thereof." And now, in Revelation chapter 7, that's the chapter where the angels are sealing the 144,000. But it doesn't stop there. The next verse after verse 6, giving the total of the numbers, it continues on and says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands." Now, that's because this multitude that cannot be numbered are also sealed in their foreheads with the seal of God. Now, it's not a visible seal any more than the mark of the beast will be. But because we are sealed, those treacherous things that happen on the earth and the judgments that God pours out on the earth that we read about so in such a detailed fashion in Revelation, those judgments aren't for us. They're for the kingdom of Satan and the beast. And we will not be touched by them. The saints are not harmed by God's judgment, as I said. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, either any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Revelations 9:4. Now, from that, I want to begin from the beginning of the year of the narration of the Bible in Genesis. In fact, Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth. It wasn't anybody else. It was only God. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And there's another word in there that's not translatable into English. There is a two-letter word, and it's made up of the very first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and the very last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Have you ever heard of the first letter and the last letter of Greek, the Alpha and the Omega? Isn't Jesus the Alpha and Omega? Well, in Hebrew, it's the Aleph and the Tav. Aleph being the first and Tav being the last. And that word signifies a divine ordination for the next word you're going to see. And that's why when you read it in Hebrew, you know that when this statement is being made, heaven is divine and earth is divine, and both are perfect in every aspect. Completely perfect, completely pure, completely holy, as only that is created by God in a perfect manner can be. Now, the way that God created, we'll find out, interestingly enough, there's a play on words, but it is, in fact, by speaking. He spoke things into existence. He also spoke things into restoration, because between the very first verse that we just read and the second verse, where it's talking about the Spirit of the Lord hovering over the chaos of the waters of the deep, and there was no form, and the earth was without form and void, that doesn't sound like anything perfect, does it? Well, there was an event that happened in between the very first creation and the restoration phase that we find man created in. In fact, man is the last thing that's created, pretty much. And what happens is, when God decided to create man, he set out and restored the creation that had to be destroyed because of the serpent, Satan's violation of God and the iniquity that was found in him. You know, he was the most beautiful and the highest level cherub of created heavenly beings. He was like an amplifier. If you read all the things about him, you find those descriptions in Ezekiel 28 and 29. And it's amazing. It has all the descriptions of what an amplifier would be, and his job was to receive all the praises of all creation and then amplify it and send it on in perfect harmony to God. And what happened was, when he saw that happen, he saw how beautiful his created being began to appear. And he looked at his beauty and he became enamored with his own beauty. And he says, I'm so beautiful with all this praise and adoration. I need to have it just for me. I need to be in place of God. And that was what he did. He attempted to do. Well, instantly God knew that was happening, because he wasn't receiving the normal harmonic amplification of the praises that people were trying to give to God, but it wasn't coming through because Satan was taking a portion of it. Do we take a portion of God's glory? I'm speaking to those that are leaders of the flock. Do you touch God's glory and try to take it as your own? Don't do that. You will find yourself outside, gnashing your teeth, outside of heaven and not in it. Don't touch God's glory. Don't receive payment for something that God does. Let God provide without your begging. Now, he goes on and tells in the first chapter, and I've listed the different verses, 1, 3, 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, and 25, of all the different things that he does, all the way up through the animals and their kind, in his creating them, and how he makes the firmament, and all of the things. Not only does he start out, the first thing he starts out with is not even creating the sun, but he does create life, light. He says, let there be light. And in the Hebrew, it means allow to be restored, light. Now, as he continues to speak, he forms the light and he creates darkness. He says that in Psalms 45:7, he says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Why does he create evil? We have to have our free will tested. We are like a bar of steel that's about to be made into the sharpest sword there's ever been. And the way you do that is you heat it up. Evil, it takes evil to heat us up, apparently. Will we turn to the source of evil, or will we allow ourselves to be heated up and then quenched quickly in the Holy Spirit of God to temper us, to make us strong, not brittle, but strong and sharp, holding an edge for God? The Lord also says, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, that's speaking specifically of Jesus. But you can have that applied to you as well. God can anoint you with the oil of gladness. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's what your task and my task is also. Don't be shy. It's not you that does the deliverance. It's not you that comes against God, God's enemy. It is God himself. But you have to allow God to dwell in you richly. Let us allow God to indwell us richly. God created man in his own image. Remember that verse? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We are the only being, the only created being of all the trillions upon trillions of things that have been created. We are the only one that has been created in the image and likeness of God. You want to know what God looks like? He looks similar to you and I. Otherwise, we wouldn't be created in his image. We are in his likeness because God also has a soul. And God also has a spirit. We have a body, soul, and spirit. So does God. The angels have bodies and spirits, but they don't have souls. And we'll find out about that later when we get into the demonic element. And we start studying about the giants and the Nephilim and their problems. And what God tells us through Enoch. which is a source document for the Bible that is included as a reference in the Bible, actually, along with Jasher. Now, they actually do have those particular books. They have discovered them in the Dead Sea Scrolls. There are some full versions that are in the Ethiopic Church of Enoch. And they have, I don't know where they have the full version of Jasher, but they have that as well. And those books give more insight and detail. The Bible itself is very succinct, and it's there for a reason, because not only is it succinct and brief in its description, but every letter has a meaning in it. Every letter, and no letter is out of its place, and no letter is missing. And because of that, if you were to take a computer program, take all of the Hebrew letters in the scriptures, and particularly, specifically the Old Testament, the Torah and the writings, take all the spaces out so you have nothing but letters. And then you take a computer and have it seek out an equal distant number, a set number, because we don't know how to do unequal distance numbers. Only God knows how to do that. But if you take an equal distant number and you then pull out a letter that's similar to the way that we decode and encode our secret documents when we want to have the keep our information away from the enemy. Well, God's Bible actually has that very same thing. And amazingly enough, every man, woman, and child can put forth their name in this search engine, and you will find your name, and you will find your birth date, and in some cases you'll find your death date. It's an interesting thing, and that's called the Bible codes of the Bible. Now, I have this other thing that I put in here, or I shouldn't say I did it. God actually prompted me to include this particular statement. God created man as a living soul. No other form of deity other than God. Only God has the key to create a soul. The angels can't do it. They tried. Before the flood, they sent down the fallen, the fallen angels came down. And as we read in Genesis 6, verse 4, they cohabited with earthly women because the earthly women were beautiful. They took each one a wife, and they sired children. But when those children were born, they had a body and they had a spirit, but they had no soul. And they asked Enoch to go before God and plead to God to allow their offspring to be able to become immortal. Well, if you weren't created immortal with a body and a spirit, you weren't going to be made immortal without a soul. Because only with a soul can you be found guilty of trespass, like Adam and Eve, and we ourselves because of Adam and Eve. But we have a soul. And in that soul, we have our free will. Even though we may be tainted and have sin in our being, and we may choose things that are not good for us, that are sinful, we can repent. when we recognize, you know, we can just ask God to examine you with His Holy Spirit and to show you in His examination what things are not pleasing to God, and then turn away from those things. That's called repentance. Only man can repent to the extent that he can become, can transmit himself, well, be transmitted, I guess I should say, from a mortal to an immortal. But only mankind can do that. The angels can't do that. The other created beings can't do that. That's how critical it is that we have a soul. Don't sell your soul to the devil. Whatever little pleasure he wants to give you is a fraud. Because the greatest thing you can have is to be at one with the creator of the creation that created you. Now, I am a biologist as well, and I was schooled in that. And I happened to run across a body of experiments that had taken pigs' eggs. And they had introduced, I take that back. It was human. It was human eggs, and they introduced sperm into this matrix of 100 squares, and they looked at it under a microscope when they introduced the sperms, and at the instant that a sperm penetrated the membrane of an egg, an amazing thing happened. I had always wondered out loud to the Lord, and many times I said, Lord, when a baby is made, and I know how the biological element happens, how the egg and the sperm unite. But when is it that they receive their soul and their spirit? Well, I didn't have to worry as I was looking through that microscope. The very evidence of the fertilization of that egg shot a brilliant, explosive, intense white light. Every time an egg got fertilized, pow, it just exploded with this light. And then I understood, that's the instant. That is the exact instant that we received our soul and our spirit, was when we became a living being between an egg and a sperm. That is amazing. And God shows you the evidence right there. Anyway, the next thing that we need to know is that God created and controls the cherubim, the flame, and the flaming sword. Remember that at the Garden of Eden, where He put the cherubim there and gave him a flaming sword that no one could come back into the Garden of Eden and eat of the Tree of Life. God respected Abel's offering. We read about that when Cain and Abel offered their offerings. Remember how that says? It says in Genesis 4:4, and Abel, he also brought, excuse me, of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Well, that's all we get there. But Jasher has the same event. And here's what the Lord has written in Jasher. And it was at the expiration of a few years, they, meaning Cain and Abel, brought an approximating offering to Yahuwah. That's the tetanamogram that Vav-He, that stands for God. And some pronounce it Yahweh, Yahuwah, and so on. It appears that when you look in other places of how the other syllables of God are pronounced, that this Yahuwah is probably the closest we can come to it at this point. We may not get it right until Jesus comes and coaches us in the pronunciation of it. Anyway, and Cain brought from the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought from the firstlings of his flock, from the fat thereof. He brought his best. It doesn't say that Cain did. And Elohim, which is another word for God, turned and inclined to Abel and his offering, and a fire came down from Yahuwah from heaven and consumed it. Where do you think that Elijah got the idea of calling down fire and understanding it from God? He had access to Jasher. He knew this particular event. This is the first time fire had come down from heaven and consumed a sacrifice. The other recorded time is in the scriptures surrounding Elijah. God took Enoch to heaven. You know, there's a very short scripture that it says there, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He lived a relatively short period of time here on earth, and during that period of time, he went back and forth between heaven and earth. He actually was conducting lessons in heaven because the Lord had gifted him with such wisdom and righteousness. Now we have another thing here called God versus Satan.
Brother
when
Tom?
When the fallen angel... Oh, what's that?
Excuse me for the interruption. Just give you a heads up, we've got 5 minutes left.
Oh, boy. Sorry about taking so long here.
No, this is a great teaching. I'm really enjoying this. Just want to give you a heads up. Keep continuing.
Oh, thank you. All righty. When the fallen angels mated with the women of men, their offspring became giants. Now, that's the word we have in English. It's actually called Nephilim in Hebrew, and there's several different actual Hebrew words that are used there indicating different forms of giants. We only have the word giant in English. Anyway, it continues and says, but they did not have souls. And after the destruction of their bodies, they became wandering evil spirits. How do I know that? Because in the book of Enoch, chapter 15, verse 8, it says this. Now the Nephilim, who have been born of the spirit and of flesh, shall be called on earth evil spirits. And on earth shall be their habitation. In other words, they will live on earth, not somewhere else. Evil spirits shall proceed from their flesh, because they were created from above. From the holy watchers was their beginning and primary foundation. Evil spirits shall they be, and they shall be upon the earth. And the spirits of the wicked shall they be called. The habitation of the spirits of heaven shall be in heaven, but upon the earth shall be the habitation of terrestrial spirits who are born on earth. And that was the sentence that God gave. This is part of the sentence that God gave Enoch to return to the watchers and the fallen angels, and that God had judged against them in their petition to have their children accepted by God, because they were born essentially illegitimately, because God says in other places that He created the watchers to watch mankind, to look, in other words, to look over them and to watch out for danger and interfere if there's danger coming. They were allowed to do that. Well, during that watching, they became enamored with the women of man and decided, well, we have the genitals and the equipment that can prevail here. God says, I didn't create a woman, I didn't create a partner for you, I didn't create a woman for you to have offspring, because you didn't need any. You were immortal.
Brother,
you still are. Yeah, they still are immortal, but
we better
until they're going to be destroyed. Yeah, I'll have to go ahead and stop there.
Pause here.
And I'll stop at this point.
Take the remaining minute and give out your contact information. How do people reach you?
Okay, thanks. The first thing is you can reach me by going to my website, and on that, that's aliveontheedge.com. You can order the books that are there if you so desire, and so on. And you can find this particular information, as I described earlier in the broadcast. The other way is to contact me by email, and all you do is put Tom, T-O-M, at aliveontheedge.com. And I thank you for the opportunity here that I can share this. This is in just the beginning. I'm trying to still give you as much information and encouragement about God and who He is that you might grasp it. Because when we get into the ugly, profane, filthy, diabolical abominations that we're going to see that Satan has devised against us, you'll wonder, can we ever survive? Well, yes, we can. Not on our own. That's what I want to emphasize. Not on our own.
Brother
Go
Tom.
To God. Amen.
For the audio tonight, what do you want to title this episode?
The continuing attributes of God.
Fantastic. My friend, thank you for coming on tonight. We love and appreciate you. We're going to see you again soon. God bless you, Brother Tom.
Okay. The Lord bless you too. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Folks, let's save this. We're going to continue. Let's get Sister Rosa Owens on. We are dialing now. Stand by. I'm going to reset MixLR. Hold on. This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War of the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons tuning in, we're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe.